This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This week in wrestling and the WWE, everything WWE. We're going to look at Raw. We're going to look at SmackDown Live. We're going to look at Talking Smack, and we're going to finish it up with the NXT TV show. Let's start off with Raw, man. Of course, I'm here with Johnny. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing
cool. Okay. Well, let's start off with Raw, man, and we open up with Steph and Mick having a speech to the troops. What you make of all this?
What I made of it is something that is, I didn't watch anything last week. I was just swamped with other things. And one of the things I've read is, and there is some validity to some of it, but people going, you know, why are they this into Raw versus SmackDown? You know, and I thought this was the beginning of them doing a pretty fair job of explaining why, but it heals them up because they're like, we're Raw. They're beneath us. And that lends into that whole, yeah, SmackDown, that's the B show. That's a thing that's been around for a long time. So when they're like, you need to prove to those losers over there, you know, that we're the top show. I think that's enough motivation, especially when these are supposed to be people who are competitive about everything. You know, they're professional wrestlers. They're you spilled a cup of coffee on me. Let's go fight. You know, it's been established. These people like to fight about shit. And I thought they on this show and SmackDown, they did a pretty good job on it. But we were talking about off air. I'm worried about Mick Foley. It's hard. He's having a hard time finding a few lines here and there. He's slurring a few words. And I just don't, you know, if he can't do it, I don't want him out there doing it. And it's got nothing to do with, like, well, his character. No, nothing to do with character. It's his ability to perform in front of a live audience. And if that is compromised by head trauma, then I don't want him on television, even though he's my favorite guy pretty much of all time outside of Jimmy Valiant.
That's so. Fair enough. Yeah. And that leads into an Owens Reigns versus Sheamus Cesaro match. They mentioned the Shield a lot in this and stuff. What you like about this?
Oh, I thought the match was a lot of fun. I thought, again, Sheamus and Cesaro are doing the tag team partners who don't get along gimmick maybe better than I've ever seen it done. It's super fun. And the fact that they're both guys who, like, are tough.
They're entertaining, I'll say that.
Yeah, they're entertaining, but they're also guys who, it's established, are tough and will kick your ass. And they're both being amazingly entertaining in the gimmick. Cesaro is, Sheamus is tremendous. He's so good. You know, every little thing about the acting of wrestling, he's got down. And watching them starting to win and shit, and I mean, this match was not some sort of squash either, man. They were just as tough as a KO and Reigns, and I just thought this was a really fun match, and I really liked the finish. I thought the finish was perfect.
Yeah, I thought the match was solid. I wasn't blown away by it, but I thought it was solidly worth.
For TV, you know.
Yeah. I thought Cesaro looked fantastic, real good. Oh, I love that spinning tope of his. And it was clear they're definitely – they name-dropped the Shield so many times during this match. They're definitely definitely teasing the reunion, you know.
Well, they're teasing something. I mean, they even get into we'll get into it where Rollins mentions like what could happen if him and Reigns are on the same page and shit like that. Yeah, it's all over this.
Right, and then we got to we go to Rollins and Jericho with Braun. What was going on there?
Let's see, Y2J, Strowman, Rollins promo. Jericho wants to give everyone a scarf, man. And they have the scarf of Jericho. And Jericho has the scarf that he's given Strowman is it looks like the scarf the mayor from Jaws would have worn. Remember when the mayor from Jaws shows up at the 4th of July celebration in his red, white, and blue thing with anchors and shit? This was that scarf. It's like, I'm not going to have you cut up in some goddamn fish and have that little kid spill out all over the dock. And Strowman is like, no, I want your scarf. And he gets a scarf. Okay, fine. I don't like scarves. And he makes Jericho wear the other one. And Jericho wears it the rest of the show. Right up through the main event, he's still wearing that scarf. And I thought this was hilarious. Loved it.
Yeah, it was funny. I agreed. Which led us into a New Day versus Jericho, Rollins, and Braun match. What are your thoughts here?
I thought New Day in this six-man, because we don't really get to see them in six-mans all that often, and they were showing amazing teamwork. There was a lot of really cool choreographed teamwork that didn't come off as overly choreographed, but with them doing six-man work that I thought was outstanding. And I thought this was a very entertaining match, and I am fully on the Braun Strowman bandwagon right now. I love Braun Strowman. He was all just tossing motherfuckers around. He's great.
Oh, no, I agree. I liked how they, it was obvious they were teasing Dissension for Team Raw. I like that. Basically, they're getting Strowman over huge and really, really treating him special. He definitely is something where they're going with as a big, big, big deal.
And he's character-wise backstage, he's pulling it off, man. I mean, he comes off legitimately fucking scary and huge.
No, I will agree there. I'm not loving the fact that they had him pull over Big E, because I think I see a lot of potential for Big E. But again, no one's going to remember what Braun did. And maybe it makes for – maybe that's the guy. Maybe they want to push Braun up the cards more, which is obviously what they want to do. I think they have Big E place in a spot where they have him right now, so they don't. I don't think it really bothers them for what they did there to him. So I understand that, but I still.
Well, Biggie's bulletproof right now, and Braun for all how awesome it is right now, he's got to fucking like beat someone that people go, oh shit. So.
Right. No, I agree there. And then we get a Foley Steph Heyman thing going. What's going on there?
Okay, so. And Foley and Steph and Pauly, and she insults him in a way where she's calling him fat. And he goes, looks at Foley and goes, she just called me fat. Which was, and it was like, he didn't do anything to deserve it. You know, he's like, let me just say, and she makes some fat joke. He's like, did she just call me fat? Okay, fine. If that was not scripted, Paulie just did one of his typical things to fuck with Stephanie, which is why she hates his guts.
Yeah, I think that probably was what it is.
Well, I'd like to think so. And then yeah, that's, I mean, that's really all I, the notes I had for it was like Paulie just turned the tables on Stephanie. Are you fat shaming me? Paul Heyman is a victim of fat shaming from Stephanie McMahon, and I don't think we should stand for this. You know, it's very hurtful.
And then we move over to Charlotte and Sasha arguing in the back.
Acting.
Just, you know, again, they're not getting along. What were your takes here?
I just wrote down acting because the acting stunk.
It really was, wasn't it? It was just so bad. No. But man, then this leads us to Lesnar Goldberg.
Wow.
Great segment. I mean,
how great was this? How great was this, bro?
It was incredible. Even though Goldberg, I mean, he's already, his whole body's sore. He's killing himself already. I don't know how he's going to get through this match. But man, the angles. In this day and age, man, people believing that Goldberg and Lesnar is real in a way, you know? They're all in on this angle and feud, and they're buying into it. My favorite part here was Goldberg actually made Heyman seem really important in the sense, like, wow, man, maybe they might be building to Goldberg getting 5 minutes with Paul Heyman, because there was a lot of legit, seemed like there was, like, the way it was worked and the way they worked it, because Brock barely speaks, Heyman's doing all the talking. It ended up almost coming across more personal between Paulie and Goldberg. Where?
Oh well, yeah, it's because Goldberg kept interrupting him.
Yeah, and it came across like, more like an old school where Heyman felt like Captain Lou in a way here. You know what I'm saying?
No, Paulie at one point starts crying. He's like, Paulie is shook. You know, his character that you know, like, I'm the advocate and I just say all this shit and nobody ever interrupts him, and Goldberg just keeps interrupting him until Paulie's like throwing a 1987 Paulie hissy fit, crying like the baby manager. Don't you let me talk. And then he gets himself together and finally does his introduction, and it's so hot, and it was so good. Because we haven't seen this. Paulie gets to always. No one interrupts him.
Nope.
And this, all, it sounded so unwritten, to be perfectly honest with you. It sounded completely unscripted. Just guys going out there yelling at each other.
Yep. And, I mean, it worked perfectly. The time, right when Goldberg pulled his shirt off, it was a big moment because we hadn't seen the body to see how what type of shape he was in. And Goldberg just has this presence about him, man, that he just says ass kicker, you know. So does Lesnar, don't get me wrong. But people believe
Goldberg is such a star.
Yeah, people believe that Goldberg really is. People think of Goldberg like he's a UFC fighter, like he's legit. He has that legit aura about him. And these two guys are pulling it off right now, and
amazing. Well, here's the thing: there are little kids in that audience who were not even alive when Goldberg was a thing, who are like totally into this dude. You know, he's like I said last week, I was never a Goldberg fan; it wasn't my thing. This Goldberg, I am all in on this.
I think because he talks. He's not a great promo, but he's that promo where you, when he says it, you believe in him. It's kind of like that Bruno,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And, totally different character than Bruno, but
I think it is, he is a great promo now.
Yeah.
He's a great promo right now. He's killing it.
Very dynamic. You believe what he says. When he says, I'm going to kick your teeth in, you believe it. I don't think the match is gonna be good on pay per view, but god dang it, I'm looking forward to seeing it happen.
Oh yeah, it's. And Paulie throughout this doing this whole. Ever since that embarrassing moment in Brock's hometown where he was told to get the crowd to react,
yeah,
Paulie's been on fire. He's like, you can chant his name all you want. Goldberg, Goldberg.
Yep.
Unreal.
I think
unreal.
He's more over now than he was in his heyday, Goldberg, with the way they project Goldberg right now.
Well, more over than he was during his WWF run. I don't know about during the height of WCW.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You're probably right. And then this leads into the female match, and that was Sasha Charlotte versus Nia and Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Right now, it's getting into this. And I mean, it was inevitable, but it's the same theme on all the matches. They're just not, partners aren't getting along, blah, blah, blah. I have no problem. I just wish some of the storylines would be different. It's pretty much the same storylines, but with different people in it. It just needs a little bit more. It's getting kind of stale. What's your thoughts?
Well, this was all a Survivor Series sort of thing about can you guys get along and stuff. And it's because also Alicia Fox had been feuding with Nia about getting squashed by her. But now they've established, though, that they're friends now. You know, they've earned each other's respect sort of thing. And I just want to address here, I thought this match was fun. But our good friend Marty Slays, said that he was very upset that they gave the spot in the Survivor Series match to Alicia Fox rather than Dana Brooke, because he loves himself some Dana. Look, I like Dana too. I think she's got a lot of potential. I think her character work is amazing. But Alicia Fox is actually good in the ring. And consistently good. She's not great, but she's pretty consistently good. And Dana hasn't been.
No, Dana's
why.
She's had a couple moments, but for the most part, she's been terrible. I mean, honestly.
Okay. And I'm a Dana booster.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact of the matter is, Alicia Fox has been around there a long time and is really fucking good, considering she was one of those professional dancer model ones. They brought him back in the day. She's gotten good. She's a good worker. She's not amazing.
Right.
But she's a hell of a lot better than fucking Dana Brooke is right now. And that's why she's in that match.
Yeah, she's passable while Dana's not.
She's better than passable. Alicia Fox, her character works outstanding, and she's very good in the ring. I mean, she's, like I say, she's not Asuka, but she's pretty fucking good. And she's a lot better than Dana. So.
I agree with him being a lot better than Dana. And then we see Foley with Team Raw, which leads to Foley, Steph, and Shane and DB having a debate. It's Team Raw and Team Raw and Team SmackDown shows up.
It's the summit.
And then I love the fact that Ambrose threw the first punch in this angle, and then it all goes to hell. What were your thoughts and takeaways here?
I like the fact that they're having their meeting in the ring and. They call out Team Raw, and when Team SmackDown arrives, because of Brian goes, did you really think we'd come here alone? They didn't come down the ramp to their music. They came through the crowd with no music. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. That's good.
Right.
That's gives it a sense of urgency and realism there, they've invaded. Granted, invaded the crowd is now a trope, I know, but they don't do it a lot. Normally, the one thing we complain about is that, and now the SmackDown music hits and they come down the ramp. This is how it should be. and they all start mouthing off at each other a bit. And one thing I know is Randy Orton is a goddamn giant.
He really is.
Just watching him stand there next to him, I'm like, I knew he always knew he was bigger than he seemed, but holy shit, he's a giant human being. He's gonna be like what, 6'7"? 6'6"? AJ
looks tiny.
AJ manages to say sugar tit on the air.
Yep.
I wonder if he got any heat from Vince about saying that. It was a great line. And you're just sucking on his sugar tit. It was like,
yep.
okay. Wow. And he kept going. Like, boom. Like, okay. You realize you might have said something dumb that you might get heat for. Don't fluster. Keep going. And exactly what he did.
Totally buried him. Yep.
And but here's the thing. Ambrose throwing that punch was right after Rollins said, you know, when you put me and Roman together, you don't know what kind of damage we can do. And the next guy to react is Ambrose, and he just attacks. Because that's an insult to him. You know, he's like, what the fuck? Dude, I'm Shield too, you fuck. And attacks. And I thought it came off pretty fucking good overall.
And then we had, I thought overall it looked too good too. I thought it was a great way to end the show. It definitely adds heat. It looks like SmackDown, which it should be, that SmackDown should be on their heels, since they're the ones invading, you know? And then they even talk about it a little bit more that they just got back from...
But I want to mention this now, and we'll get into it with SmackDown. It's not the crowds who are making the SmackDown team the baby faces in this. I think it's intentional.
It's inevitable. Well, you have... babyface Daniel Bryan, babyface Shane McMahon.
There you go. Exactly.
Stephanie's always going to be a heel, and they like. And
your Raw team, your Raw team is Owens and Jericho.
Yeah.
Okay. Reigns, who's a babyface who gets booze. Rollins, who's a babyface who is starting to get cheers but still gets some booze. And Braun Strowman, who's a heel. I think is going to start getting cheers, but at this point, he's a heel. So there's a lot of boos on that team. On the other team, yeah, Orton, even though he's with the Wyatts, people still cheer him. Maybe Bray will get some boos, but everyone else is pretty much a babyface.
And right now, we'll take a break and listen to the shows from Pro Wrestling Only.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your...
And we are back. And if any of you guys, Johnny wasn't able to watch the State of the Union. I watched it. All I can tell you is a total train wreck. They were blurring kayfabe and shooting on each other. It just went all over the place. It really was just bad television. And I wouldn't recommend watching it unless you really are into the watching these guys in a train wreck segment. But hey, let's look at SmackDown, man. And we open up with DB and Shane, and they start the show together, and they open up with a Ziggler versus Miz match. Man, what do you think of the match?
amazing. I mean, it's not a surprise anymore this year to be looking. Think about that. 5 years ago, you know what I'm looking forward to the most? The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. And that's where we're at right now. And it's based on their goddamn work. In-ring and character-wise, just everything. And the booking of this. And the reason why we care. This was fucking awesome. We had the great line. But he's using his wife to his advantage, and JBL's like, well, David, you know, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. Why do you think we keep you around here? We keep waiting for her to show up.
Yeah, I love that.
And he goes, well, and he comes right back, and he goes, an Oscar, a Grammy, that's not going to buy you a Harvard education. And JBL shuts up. He's like, yep. Which is the thing. If you're going to go, JBL, if you can go back and forth with him and he respects you, all right, he's going to go, yep, that's awesome. And I love Miz when he's doing the yes kicks and everyone's chanting no, no, no. He's like the bizarro, the Lex Luthor of Daniel Bryan. Doing his shit, and then he gets, of course, goes to do the kick, the running knee, and it doesn't work, you know, for him, of course not.
Right.
You have the Spirit Squad come out, and this came off. I wrote down this note, and maybe you'll agree with me, and I can't even explain it right now, but the finish where Miz wins. The heel fan in me exploding. But the way this was all worked, I was like, this felt like watching World Class. It felt like a World Class finish.
I love the finish.
Yeah, well, there you go. I know you love World Class.
Well, I love it also. I love the fact that they foreshadow it about all the talk about the wife was the one who accepted the match for him. And then she turned him over and cheated for him on the finish. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. And Miz gets his title back. And this was, again, if you cheer for the babyface, which you're supposed to, oh, you are just angry right now. Angry!
Oh, yeah, Miz, I mean, live, Miz gets heat. Especially, I mean, at WrestleMania, no one wanted to see him win that damn belt. Let's go back to this. Did you think they flipped the title back too soon?
No, I don't think so. I think that it's one of those cases where they had a story they were writing, and that was for Dolph Ziggler to have his redemption story against Miz. While they're getting into it, they realize just how amazing Miz is right now and how over he is as a heel, as a character. And they're going, we might need to put the belt back on him, but we need to finish this redemption story for Ziggler, which they did. And now, though, and it, long enough, he had that, and it's fine. And it's got to go back on Miz right now. And that makes a belt like that important. And that's very NWA-ish, too, Crockett-ish, to where the babyface finally gets that belt, and a month later, the heel gets it back.
Yeah.
And Tully, that's Tully with the TV title kind of thing. And you know, because it's part of the character, and they realize that it's part of the character. But they had to finish that redemption story first. And then we'll talk about Talking Smack later.
Right.
Miz, I still read a few people who are like, I still hate him because he sucked at first and he was on Real World.
Oh, yeah, Brian Alvarez still says he sucks.
Still?
Those kicks he threw were pathetic. Blah, blah, still? Blah. Yeah. Yep.
fuck you.
Yeah, he was in a thread on his own board saying, I don't understand this. Miz is a great worker talking point.
Fuck you. Fuck anyone who says Miz isn't fucking good, great. Miz is one of the best goddamn professional wrestlers on the fucking planet right now.
He's good.
Bar none. No, when I say the entire package of what makes a professional wrestler a star, I mean, that is a heel. In an era where we don't have fucking heels like you and I like to remember, that him and Maurice, everything about him, his performances, everything he's doing, he's tremendous. And
yeah, I have no problem with Miz. I think he's been fantastic. I would have liked to see Ziggler get a little bit of a longer run with the belt, but that's just me.
Not me.
I would have liked to seen it, see what he could have done with it. But I think Miz has elevated it to pretty good heights. In the match, I loved how Ziggler looked at the belt, how long he looked at it.
That was cool.
I thought that did a good job helping get the title over. I thought Mario was channeling his inner JR by giving out dates and times and stuff like was JR calling Flair Steamboat in 89. I like Miz focusing on the leg. I thought the match was good, and I absolutely loved the finish. Thought it was like a – I didn't think this came close to the pay-per-view, but, I mean, that was different because there was so much drama and stakes and so many stakes at hand there. But this was a really good television match, 3.5 stars.
I like this better than the pay-per-view because the guy I wanted to win won.
Okay. There you go, heel. And then we get Alexa and Daniel Bryan, and then Natty shows up with a whistle. What you make of this?
Yeah. Well, by the way, this is the 900th episode of SmackDown, and they were showing highlights. Right before that, they showed Austin blowing up the DX Express, which was always one of those. It was awesome, but I was like, yeah, really? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Someone's going to jail, right? You can't do that. But it was fun. Bliss with Brian, Coach Natty with her stupid whistle, but she was great. Natty is going, okay, what's my role here? Okay, you're going to be the coach. Okay, can I have a whistle? Sure. Okay, I'm going to blow a whistle and I'm going to be a coach and give just general platitudes based on song lyrics from the 80s. Is that okay? Knock yourself out. And she's funny. So
and annoying. Good on her. It works. As a heel.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, that's the point.
Then we get Kalisto and Oney Lorcan. Giving Kalisto a win to rehab him so he doesn't look like a complete geek going into against Brian Kendrick.
But
this was quick.
But he didn't squash him. Oney Lorcan got in a shit ton of fucking offense.
Well, yeah, which was going to work. That's how it's supposed to work because Kalisto's small. So, yeah, Oney dominated him for the first, minute or two. Kalisto made the comeback. It was only maybe gone 3 or 4 minutes, and then it was over.
Remember, everybody, Oney Lorcan is a name he picked, number one. Number two, Biff Busick is just as stupid of a name. So we're just going to have to wait until a better name comes along.
Right, then we got Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I scratched that.
We had the tag guys with the king.
Yeah, we got the tag team. What did we get here?
Okay, so all the tag teams are talking about, fighting Raw.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
King Booker
shows up, yeah.
Shows up, and they all are popping for King Booker, which I just loved. And even yet your heel Usos there.
Yep.
They're also Marquette, but the Usos were trained at Booker's school, and they've established that, so they have respect for King Booker. And the fashion police show up of Breezango.
Yep.
And start fucking around, and King Booker shuts them the fuck down. and gives the pep talk for the tag teams, basically. And I love this so much because King Booker is one of my top five favorite gimmicks of all time.
Fair enough.
Love it so much.
And then we went to Nikki Bella versus Carmella, and I thought they had a match that went way too long. Thought it was eh. But my God, I absolutely loved the angle with the females at the end, with the Raw girls invading. We get a horseman-style beatdown. Bailey even putting the boots to the girls.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
It was odd, but it needed to, she couldn't have put her by herself. I liked them establishing Nia as this force of nature. Dana was there as you know, just she's part of it. Even though she's not in the match, she's kind of like the coach. She'll be out there like Natty will be. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it overall. I thought it was a good segment and added heat to their feud.
Yeah, I liked it. The huge criticisms out there that Bailey participated in a beatdown like this, and I get it. That's one of the. You know, I was like, really, with Bailey? But they did show she didn't seem to be all that into it. And then when the Raw girls were like celebrating, she wasn't there. It was almost she's like, I need to keep my character.
Character. I need to keep consistency.
You know, I have to do what? It really doesn't fit in with my character. What's okay? I'll run down there and do it, and then I'll hide.
But overall,
it was very good.
And they have established Raw as the heels. The captain's a heel. I think she's like the only babyface. Sasha, she's a babyface, but she's really Sasha. A heel. But she's really a heel. All her mannerisms are heel. She was enjoying that beatdown. I can see that argument.
They're all that competitive. Bailey's supposed to be like, I mean, Bailey doing a game. Because they were all beating down like four people kicking one person. Yeah. Bailey shouldn't do that.
Still, I'm looking forward to that Bailey heel turn eventually.
Really?
Yep. And then we get to a Lesnar-Goldberg recap. You know, covering the feud and the angle. So, of course, his video package was awesome. Any extra thoughts?
Well, no, we are remiss in mentioning all of the... Because Taker is coming back.
Yeah, I decided to clip all the damn highlights. We don't need to talk about something that happened.
Well, no, because at first we get to see his hat.
Okay.
And then we get to see his shadow. And then the shadow picks up the hat eventually. And believe it or not, this is all amazingly effective.
But I don't think it's really that exciting, though, to recap.
I'm just saying that's the narrative of this show is based around Undertaker coming back.
Right. Okay. Which everyone I'm sure who's listening to the show knows happened already. I don't think we need to give the clue.
We're talking about the show.
Let's go forward. You're fucking falling off the goddamn cliff.
Okay.
Then we get to the 16-man tag.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of like just giving it a taste of Survivor Series. I thought the finishing run was awesome. But yeah, other than that, it didn't do anything for me, but I love the finishing run.
This was like when you're in grade school and the A squad plays the B squad.
Right, yeah.
That's what this was. The A squad played the B squad. Some of the B squad, the Ascension actually really stepped it up in this match, I thought. But it was the A squad versus the B squad. And,
pretty self-explanatory. That was it. Knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. And then we get Edge doing the cutting edge, and he brings out with Team SmackDown, and then who appears? Tell him. It's not just a hat.
Undertaker. And by the way, Edge comes out to a huge pop.
Yep.
Huge pop. For everyone, again, in our circles, as Will would say, who just hate Edge. Number one, Edge in real life is like one of the coolest fucking dudes, everything I've ever heard him do. And no matter whether or not what you think, he's a super over guy who most of the audience does consider a legend. And that place went apeshit when his music hit. I was surprised the reaction he got. And he was funny. He was good. But yeah, he brings everyone out. AJ is fucking hilarious again. During this. He's so good. And Taker comes out and he says, "I'm not going to be defined by WrestleMania, but I'm back digging holes and taking souls."
Yeah, that was a great line.
Yeah, motherfucker, I'm buying that t-shirt.
What about the, do you think Undertaker kind of blew Shane a little too hard in this thing segment?
No, he just, no one kidding me, Undertaker dipped his hat at him like an old cowboy would, just kind of very silly, out of respect. That was it. He dipped his hat at him. If that's too much respect.
Well, okay, he dips his hat at Shane, okay, but he doesn't dip his hat at Edge, who they've had some great.
Well, no, because that's to put over. Because Edge is the host of the talk show, number one. Number two, it's the last time we saw these two together, they were trying to kill each other, and Undertaker murdered him. And he walks right up in his face, goes and just gives him the whole, you know, the little Clint Eastwood, you know, because that's what he's doing. It's total Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, you know, the little, you know, ma'am, whatever. And I thought it worked fucking good. Yeah, worked real good. And I guess that means Taker is saying that he wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
And not just at WrestleMania, but he wants to go back on the roster. I saw a picture of him walking around with a cane.
I think that was a joke. I think the picture was...
Oh, really?
Was okay. The girl he took the picture with, if you look, had a cast. And so when you saw the picture of him with the cane, it was him holding the cane for her. But the girl he was in a picture with was a cast.
Well, nevertheless, I want this guy to just enjoy being old with a hot young wife. Yeah.
I don't know if she's young anymore.
Really? Compared to him?
Well, compared to him, I think she's over 40 now.
Oh, well. Dude, she's still smoking hot. He has his smoking hot wife. He's got money. I just don't want to see him.
I don't think he's going to be on the road, okay? So let's. Yeah. I just think he'll pop up on new angles on TV here and there. And I wouldn't be surprised.
He's going to be a motivational speaker character?
I wouldn't be surprised if he does, like, the big shows, the big four.
I just wanted to keep doing this, just to keep showing up. Because Stephanie and Mick threaten their team. Mick threatens, goes, "If this goes wrong, I might lose my job." And Stephanie's like, "I'll yell at you." Taker comes out and goes, "If you don't win, you're going to have to deal with me." And I'm like, I think that's a little bit more motivation.
Oh, for sure. It was a really good segment and stuff. And a great way to cap off episode 900 on SmackDown, you know?
Oh, yeah, completely. I thought it was super fun. I looked Ellsworth quietly, like, hiding.
Yep.
From The Undertaker.
And yeah, I don't know if you heard, he has officially signed a contract for the WWE, so he's not leaving anytime soon.
Good for him, man.
Not leaving anytime soon, so.
Well, you know what? Then I know what we said before, but then that totally leaves open that option we mentioned that is going to be so entertaining if he turns on Ambrose and becomes AJ Stooge, because there's a lot of life in him as AJ Stooge.
Yeah, and they're booked in December for TLC, so we'll see where that goes.
There, yeah.
Tell us about Talking Smack, man. And Nikki Bella's tooth.
Well, Nikki, the girls will come out. Nikki Bella apparently got a fucking tooth knocked out or broken in half in her match, and the girls will come out and are showing teamwork in wanting to beat Raw. And this is one of the ones when people are going, "Well, why do they care?" the women's one is the easiest one to understand because of what we've talked about, that all the hyped girls from NXT are on Raw.
Yeah.
Sasha, Charlotte, Bailey, Becky is over here with all these other ones, and they've been busting their asses. We've been saying they've been better generally than a lot of the ladies on Raw.
And I will say one thing also though about the females on SmackDown. I think their angles are better. Like Becky getting her yellow streak.
They're really good angles, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff. So I think that helps too.
But there's probably a real feeling of resentment amongst them, and so that could be turned into kayfabe stuff, which is what they're doing. Yeah. So that's easy to understand. And when she showed her fucking broken tooth, I was like, yeah, that chick is super fucking hot and is John Cena's old lady. But yeah, that's tough. That's, you know, you're fucking tough. You got your fucking tooth knocked out and keep fucking wrestling.
And how great was Carmella just hazing her about the tooth the entire time?
Fantastic. But
Nikki had no answer. It was pretty funny because Carmella was just destroying her on commentary.
Yeah, well, no, it was, again, it's all improv on that show. And but we're on Talking Smack. The Miz comes out with Maurice and his Intercontinental title, and he gets right in Daniel Bryan's face, and he talks slowly, just like this, at Daniel Bryan about, do you want your friend Sami Zayn to beat me now? Because I have that belt that you can. This is a tour de force fucking promo. It's awesome. Blew my mind.
He's an incredible promo.
He never yelled. He didn't yell once. This was, I've got my belt back, you fucking cunt. It's like, oh, Jesus. So good. The women were fun, and I don't even remember what followed this.
Edge and Ellsworth doing 5-second poses.
Ellsworth. Yeah, that was cute. Ellsworth and Edge, and that was cute. This should be plucked and isolated for people to watch. It's that good. The Miz is the fucking king.
Cool, man. With that note, we're going to take a break and listen to some shows from our network.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
And we are back, and we are talking NXT. We open up here with Liv Morgan. This is pretty much the go-home show for Forever, their special. We open up with Liv Morgan versus Peyton Royce. And pretty much it ends up being the Mean Girls, the Australian Mean Girls, just beating up on Liv, and then enter Ember Moon for the save.
Yes. Well, Aaliyah first.
Aaliyah first. That's my bad. Any thoughts?
Not much. I mean, Aaliyah comes in, and they go, Ember, and like, oh shit, this is the part of the rise of Ember Moon to eventually be Asuka's foe, like we've been talking about. You know, now she's, no, I'm not gonna let other people take shit. I'm gonna start defending people. And it's a slow build of the hero's journey of Ember Moon against the hero who now has become a bit of a villain, as we'll see. It's amazing storytelling they're doing here. But match-wise, the Australian chicks are fine and Liv is fine, but there's just nothing dynamic about them. And Ember Moon comes out and the charisma goes off the fucking page.
Yeah.
When she hits.
She's always had a lot of charisma, man. She's worked the Austin Indies and always a good worker. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm like, I give the other chicks credit and they're trying and they're doing their thing. But Ember Moon goes out and like, okay, there's a star. You know, and she just leaps off the screen as a star compared to the other chicks in the ring with her at this point.
Yeah, and now we open up with our first of many recaps, because again, this is a go-home show. We get the Alexander Almas recap, and then we get a Dusty Rhodes classic recap. You know, pretty much recapping one feud and recapping the tag tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's stuff we've all seen already, so... do you have anything you really need to add here? Or?
Not really, but I just wanted to jump right to this. This is around the point where I didn't watch the show the week before, that Ellering is going to be up in a shark cage.
Yep.
Above the ring. And I'm like, this is the Dusty Rhodes tag tournament, and it's going to end with a match where the manager is elevated in a cage above the ring. And I'm like, that's why Paul Ellering has been interfering in matches the last month, that he's never done that.
Yeah, someone watched Last Battle of Atlanta.
Totally, bro. Because they bring it up. Yep. Like, that becomes a thing right into the pay-per-view, by the way. That becomes a thing where they... the last time you were in a cage above the ring was 30 years ago in Atlanta. Like, this face it, this TV is made for us.
Yeah, it really is. It's a nerd nirvana.
It's made for us. This was good shit, man. I was like, all of the hype for the pay-per-view special, whatever they do on this show here, is tremendous. It's so good.
Yeah, and then we get the Drifter, and
it's the return, my friend.
And wow, the heat is off the charts for this guy. And he sings a terrible song that I love.
How dare you, sir?
Love Corey Graves just saying his commentary. I forget what he said, but it was freaking tremendous.
Oh, no, because Tom, by the way, Tom and Corey are the best.
Yeah, which is funny. We didn't even talk about it on the. How weird was it to have Tom Phillips on the SmackDown? I mean, really weird.
I'm wondering what's the...
There's got to be an end game eventually.
It can't be
good for Morrow, I can tell you that much.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. And I was also thinking maybe this is just to help promote the NXT show, because he talked about it on it. But it's a definite, like, hey, Morrow...
Yeah, but it was weird, because I mean, it felt like Phillips was there on SmackDown, but he really wasn't there. It was just an odd hole.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Because no one works 4-man booths, so it's just nuts. No. But yeah.
Yeah, which is why I'm thinking it's got to be temporary, I think. But I mean, Morrow's doing a great job, and people like Morrow. But maybe it's just one of those things. You know, hey, look, we got a guy here, and because Phillips is great.
No, Phillips is good. Yeah.
It's the thing is, Phillips is great with Corey Graves.
Yep.
They're a perfect team. They're perfect. And I'm like, I wanted to eventually end up them doing the main shit, because they're so fucking perfect together. But it was odd, like as you mentioned. But anyway, when I realized that these promos that we've seen for weeks, like the return. I'm so glad I didn't read spoilers, because when it says the return is here and the spotlight hits and it's the fucking Drifter, I marked out. I popped. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Only person who did.
Oh, dude, okay, are you kidding me? It was amazing. Corey Graves, Tom goes, you know, Bob Dylan just won the Nobel Prize for art. You think maybe he has some influence on the Drifter? And there's silence, just silence. And Corey goes, I've never been this angry in my life. You've just made me more angry than I've ever heard. But when the Drifter starts like beating the fuck out of a dude, Corey's like, if he would just do this and someone take away the guitar, I'd like the Drifter. Because he goes in there and just kicks the shit out of that fucking guy. Who? What was his name? I wrote the, Cruz.
Yeah, Nathan Cruz. He's a British Cruz. Wrestler.
Okay. They hate the Drifter so much that a Nathan chant started for a jobber, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people know Nathan Cruz.
Okay.
He's big. He's big, and this is the audience that will know him because he's big on the in British Indies. He's a regular, time wrestler, star for Progress Wrestling. He's been working on the Evolve and FIP shows. He's definitely the new sales gonna know who the hell he is.
Okay, I think it was a little bit more of like
trust me, the dude is a known commodity in the UK, and he's worked in the promotions that Tommy End has worked and Zack Sabre.
Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the goddamn Drifter kicked his ass.
But he's the wrestler people will remember. That this crowd will know.
Okay, fine. But the Drifter kicked the shit out of him, and it was awesome.
Yeah, because you're definitely making a talking point that has no legs.
Really? I'm watching this. I don't know every...
Because you don't know who Nathan Cruz is. Yeah, I know. They're chanting for him because they know who he is.
I really don't think that audience there was all that like, we're cheering for him because we know him from fucking British Indies.
No. They do. They hate the Drifter, yes.
It was like, the Drifter gets real heat. Real fucking heat. And he's awesome. And he looks like a very muscular version of my best friend. It's eerie. His face, hair, and beard is my best friend. I'll send you a picture of one of these days. You'll be creeped out.
Okay.
He's just like the Drifter.
Then we get Aaliyah, Liv, and an Ember Moon promo. Any thoughts on this? Pretty bad, huh?
Oh, no, not good. Not good. This was terrible acting.
Yeah.
You know, and Liv does something that really annoys me. She's supposed to be from Jersey, from the 201, and I'm sure she is, but she's doing basically, it's like what Eddie did when he was first in WWF.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're like going,
fake accent, yeah.
You're going, why is he Cheech Marin?
Yeah.
But Eddie managed to keep that and do that because Eddie Guerrero was the greatest wrestler of all time.
And he made it endearing, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But it was striking.
Yeah, no, it was. Especially coming from his WCW days.
Exactly. Because you're like, he never really laid it on that thick. And suddenly he's like, yeah, muchacho. And she's going, you know, and doing this awful fake Jersey accent. And I'm just going, you don't really talk like that. Because nobody from New Jersey really talks like that.
Right.
It's you're doing an imitation. And it was like the crowning shitty cherry on this fucking... Ember Moon was okay. But that, 201 thing. I'm from Jersey.
Then we get a Revival DIY recap. Rude Dillinger recap. And yeah. I like that one. I thought that was pretty funny.
The Rude Dillinger one, bro, is that got me and made this so much more important was they did this whole thing about Ty's history. You know, with these footage of him on WWE, ECW, and that he was like on SmackDown a few times back in 2007, 2008, and shit that I never knew about. I mean, or maybe I watched that and didn't even remember this guy.
Right. No. Yeah.
Which is the point. And the editing of this is like, and that was my chance, and my chance was blown, and now I'm back, and this is my chance. I'm like, this is amazing character work they're doing for Ty out of nowhere.
Yep. He's kind of like become the new Tyler Breeze in a way for NXT, you know, where he's like bulletproof in a way.
Yeah, but this whole, like, I was up in the big leagues once, you know, they never played that up before.
Yeah, the only thing they didn't mention was I could be reaching for that brass ring again, and stuff to bring it.
But apparently he had some gimmick as, like, he was the crown jewel of the young guys coming from ECW, and I was like, I don't even remember this gimmick.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, but yeah. But I wasn't watching.
Apparently it was real.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they show clips of it, so it existed. And then we get the Alexander versus Cien Almas match.
Oh my god.
Pretty damn good. What did you make of it?
I thought this was fucking tremendous. Not a lot of main note. One of the things people didn't like about Andres Almas was the hat and the suspenders. He's a heel now.
Right.
He's keeping that thing that people didn't like, but it's black.
And it works as a heel, yes. And
it works so good. His entrance, he's got a really cool entrance now. That music is perfect.
Yep.
And he comes down, the spray fireworks. He's got a black fedora and black suspenders on with the black tights. And I'm like going, we've said it week after week. Oh, my God, he's supposed to be a heel. This match was the one where he cemented it. He was amazing, and so was Cedric. This man, I thought this was outstanding.
Agreed. I thought they worked their asses off.
Loved this. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. They worked their asses off in this match. Wow. I was expecting a decent, fun television match. What I got was a fucking great match, and
full of hate too.
Oh, full of hate, and Andres winning was perfect. He's so amazingly charismatic as a bad guy. He's transcendent as a bad guy, and Cedric did not lose any momentum in anything by losing this, because this was a tremendous back and forth match. This is one of those steal the show things. Let's go out and steal the fucking show. And they did. This, people of anything we've talked about on this WWF recap show, I think as far as like a match you need to see this match. It's fucking great.
It really was strong. And then we finish up with another recap of Knack and Joe. So, which leads right into the pay-per-view. So that's NXT.
Oh, by the way, Almas is handsome. Because Corey Graves kept making sure to tell you throughout every description of this match that he finds him handsome. And Tom kept playing it like, I don't know why you need to say, you know, handsome. He's handsome, Tom. Looking tremendous.
Well, there we go. That's NXT. And, Johnny, you got anything to plug, man?
No, not right now, man. If you listen to this and don't listen to the NWA show we do, correct yourself before you wreck yourself and go listen to the NWA show.
Awesome. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Titans of Wrestling. Have a great week, folks, and have a happy holiday if we don't talk to you before that.